It's special for me to be here this morning. Don has heard this year a couple of times, but he hasn't heard this introduction, because it actually reminds me when I was with Don last year in Montreal, and giving a share of this nature, and there were parents there. There was probably around 11 to 12 parents there, and each one of them I had taught their children. And it was something that really warmed my heart. And I think that I have the same feeling this morning. And if we're talking about chirut, we're talking about the concept of freedom, there's a beautiful Ben Ish Chai that explains that in the Gemara in Ta'anit, that says that you learn a lot from your student, you learn a lot from your friends, excuse me, you learn a lot from your rebbeim, you learn more from your, help me out, from your friends. The most you learn is, Talmidei Yoter Mikulam. And the Ben Ish Chai says that that is the Rashi Tevot of the word Chirut. Chirut is Chaver, Rav, and Talmid. And therefore I start off this year thanking you as being, helping, enabling me to be a partner together with you. And it's very special for me to have both the parents here, the Talmidim here who just came back, and future Talmidim that are Mirtz Hashem going to be coming. It's very, very special to have the Chag together with you. This morning, I'm very excited about this year to talk together with you about the game plan to talk in this year is to have a three introductory remarks of the transition from Yom HaAtzmaut to Yom Yerushalayim. The first two are two great thinkers, Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik, about the nature of what the state is, of what happened at Kuma Medina in Tavshin Chet, 1948, and what happened 19 years later. What is this transition? What happened in Yom Yerushalayim? We'll have a third introduction about Moshe Rabbeinu, which I'll explain. And from there, I like to parallel a minhag that we all know. It's coming to wedding season, it's coming up. And to talk a little bit about this minhag of breaking the glass and parallel these three introductory points with three different reasons of why what stands behind the minhag of breaking the glass at the wedding. And hopefully within that we'll celebrate today with a little deeper understanding of what Yom Yerushalayim is about. The first introductory point is from Rav Kook. Rav Kook says in the first source, what is the Medina? The Medina is not just that you have to have Jews that like Bamba and Visley and come to Israel and avoid pogroms. No, the idea is Medina Zuhu Medinatina Medinat Israel. It has religious significance. Yisod Kisei Hashem Ba'olam. I call the sheer majestic beauty in the beast. The majesty is that the state, the infrastructure of the state, in its ideal form, is supposed to be the foundation of the manifestation of God thrown His majesty into the world. The whole, its whole ethos is to have God's singularity displayed. This is the greatest happiness, if you will. Rav Kook, as much as some people attack him as being an eternal optimist, understood that it's a biur aruch. He understood that this is a very, very high, taxing vision, but he understood that that's the essence of the Medina, and it's going to take a long time to be able to properly execute the vision of the Medina. And again, we see, whether it's, you can see the pictures this morning of the dancing of Yerushalayim, dancing through the streets of Yerushalayim, and even the point for those people, meaning this is really one of my favorite days to be in Yerushalayim for years before I got a little older. Five, six, 7 years, I would call my brother up from the Kotel. He's from Staten Island. Some of you may know him. He's the head of the NCSY summer programs. And I would call him up and say, David, where are you? Listen, look. I mean, they didn't have FaceTime at that point. Right? Look what's going on. Do you understand what's happening? And at the same time, some people, I had two students this year that talked about whether they should be dancing through Shar HaRayot or not because of certain things that happen. And there each year, the Biur Aroch is that there are signs that came up and saying, look, the great idea of the Kiddush Hashem, of reliving what we did, and then we have to make sure that we're continuing to make the Kiddush Hashem. So on one level, this is what happened, Kuma Medina, that we have, according to Rav Kook, this manifestation, the revelation of God's majesty as a Medina. We put that introductory point aside. The second introductory point is what how Rav Soloveitchik, in a drasha in 1958, 10 years after the Kuma Medina, how he viewed this one way of understanding Medinat Yisrael. And here, he mentions a midrash, this is brought down from Rav Shechter Sefer, in Pnimi Harav, a midrash that seems to be positive, that we're a short time away from Shavuot, and we all know we had the beautiful, beautiful Matan Torah, where we had V'chol Ha'am Ro'im Et HaKolot V'et HaLapidim, for those people that have been in Israel or near Bar Kat, putting the sound show over the walls, following the, if I'm not mistaken, the president of this country that said, you know, you should really use these walls. I think it was President Clinton, if I'm not mistaken. He said you should use these walls. Beautiful, amazing, unbelievable Matan Torah. But what happened? We know, shortly, there was the Chet HaEgel, there was the Shvirat HaLuchot. The Midrash here, in the Pasuk of Ki Tisa, as the Tikkun, it says, Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, we have a couple of Bali Kriya here, Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, Psal Lecha, that the Tikkun of this Chet, explains the Midrash in the second source in front of you, that since the first Luchot were given in such a ostentatious, a very grandiose type of fashion, Shalta Bahem Ayin Hara. Now, I live amongst Spartan, so they talk about Ayin Hora, Ayin Hara. You know, there are different ways, you know, some call it the evil eye. Everyone knows that Ben Porat Yosef. There are so many different, but the Ayin Hara, and as a result of the Ayin Hara, explains the Midrash, Nishtabru, the Luchot were destroyed. And now, as a tikkun, Hashem says to Moshe, Psal lecha, lecha, in lecha yafed l'nasiyut. There is nothing greater than the privacy that is needed. And here, Rav Soloveitchik asked, he quoted Rav Meir Shapir Melublin, the founder of the Daf Yomi, literally one of my favorite questions. He said, God knows us. Why did God in the first stance, why is He giving it in a grandiose type of fashion? Be able to do what? Give it in the tzanua fashion in the beginning. We all love tzniut. It's great. Give it in the first way that way. So to answer this, so to be a good rabbi, you have to, what do you have to do? You have to ask another question. So to answer this, we just finished last night talking about the bracha of Havdalah. We know it's Hamav Del Bein. Kodesh L'chol, Ben Yisrael, Amin, B'yam HaShvi, I messed up the order now. B'yam HaShvi, L'sheish, L'me'am HaSeh, it's been a long week. The differences of Havdalah. And if you ask a lot of people when they first come to Yeshiva, they ask me about the Opan. So we're not going to get into there. But the concept that they learn about being clear as day. Right? How do we say that? Barur Kashemesh. I heard a beautiful video this morning with the Miftah. Unbelievable. Barur Kashemesh. It's clear as day. Meaning, when we say Amavdil Bein Or L'Choshech, that's what's called in one category Havdalah Guluya. That is a clear distinction. You don't need to be a human. Animals understand the difference. We know the distinction. However, there's a second category, how Rav Soloveitchik called it, and that was called Havdalah Nisteret, where you need a discerning eye to distinguish the difference between A and B. This is the last source in front of you, the Midrash by Akidat Yitzchak, where it says, Vayara tamakom erachok, where Avram Avinu is going with Yitzchak and Shnei Narav, and many of your children have gone either on Machach or going on Machach, Mr. Chill, and one of the first, or Vavdach Machach, I mean, I have a certain affinity to Rabbi Dan Katz, but my brother, you know, also, you've gone on NCSY programs, you've come to Yerushalayim, and one of the first places you stop is where? Talpiot. You stop by the, what's it called, the Tayelet. Vayarta makom rechok. And the truth is, most people know about the Tzanchanim coming in 1967, but the first Chativa that came was right here, Vayarta makom rechok. They came with Chativat Yerushalayim, they came by Armon HaNetziv. That was the first thing that they conquered. So we have here Vayar et hamakom mirachok, as the midrash in the last line in the first source in front of you. Mara'a, what did Avram Avinu see? The midrash says that he saw an anam kasur b'har. He saw a cloud that was tied to a mountain. Amar, he says, Domeli, it appears to me, Avram Avinu says, and I turn the page, Shotom makom sha'amarli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lakriv et bini sham. This, it seems to me, that's the place where God is telling me to sacrifice my son. Amar li Yitzchak, he says to Yitzchak, do you see what I see? Yitzchak said yes. And then he turned to the Shnei Na'arav. And he says, do you see what I see? And they said, no. And therefore, the refrain, since you don't see what I see, you sit here with the donkey, which is the chomer, the physicality. Meaning, this is the midrash that is telling us that there's a second type of havdalah. Being kodesh l'chol, that you have a discerning eye. It's not like the first havdalah gluya of being or l'choshev. As for Rav Soloveitchik, what is hamavdil bein Yisrael ami? The difference between Jews and non-Jews. Is it supposed to be like the first category of Baruch HaShemesh? It's got to be clear what you see. The Jews, and they're the Jews. As much as I love all people, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, but is this a Chibay Yitera? It's got to be very, very clear. Or this separation of Hamavdil bein Yisrael Amim is more like bein Kodesh L'chol. It's got to have a discerning eye. It's got to be like the modern Jewish history, Moses Mendelssohn, that says that you're a Yid in the home, but when you walk out, nobody knows. You're Mo. You're not Moshe. Right? It's very, very clear. Which is it? Explains Rav Soloveitchik that that is the whole point. As much as it was a tremendous price and an expense of the Shvirat HaLuchot, of Chirut, of the words of Hashem, but it was that important to be able to give the Torah in such a clear fashion, to be able to say that Am Yisrael had to be like an Avdalah Gluya. Rav Soloveitchik, 10 years after the Kuma Medina, stated that that's what the significance of the state was. That till then, people in Europe, you're walking around as feeble, you're walking around meek, being able to say a Yid, on a certain level, Yishuv Yashan, that way. Now all of a sudden you have the state and what it's going to be, where you can now say, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amin, where you can walk around and feel as part of the Am, and you feel as a strong nation. So this is the second introduction of the majesty, if you will, as we'll explain, of Am Yisrael. And our second introductory point, as I just concluded, what happened now from the transition from Kuma Medina to 19 years later to Yom Yerushalayim. My third and final introductory point is by a book called Vision and Leadership by Rav Soloveitchik about the leadership of Moshe and Yosef. And most people, if I were to ask you, who's the first, it's a trick question, who's the first halachic king? Most people you would answer would be Shaul HaMelech. For those people that like reading the Nitzivim Volashin, he has a chiddush that says that it's Yehoshua, was also a status of a king. But the Rambam in Hilchot Beit HaBechira says that actually Moshe Rabbeinu had a halachic status as a king. And when did he become a king? When was the, I'm reading together with you in that last source on this page, when was the majestic crown of Malchut, kingship placed squarely by Hashem upon his head? The answer is a tefillah that we say every single Shabbat morning. Yismach Moshe b'matna chelko, kiyeh b'neman karata lo, kelil tiferet b'roshon atat lo. He was crowned. When was he crowned? V'amdo l'fanech al har Sinai, but u'shnei l'chot ha'orid b'yado. Explains Rav Soloveitchik, as opposed to one would have thought, when is he crowned? Not in a couple of days of the first time he encountered the Ribon Sholom at har Sinai. It was only after the Avon of Chet HaEgel, the sin of Chet HaEgel, on the second Matan Torah of Yom Kippur. And Rav Soloveitchik asked the simple, blatant question, the obvious question, why wasn't he endowed with kingship on Shavuot when he encountered the Almighty the first time? What happened during the destiny charge period separating the second Matan Torah from the first that promoted Moshe to king? And he answered succinctly, it was Shvirat HaLuchot. But the question, and this is my final concluding point, how did this tragic and heartbreaking event enhance Moshe's personality and elevate him to the heights of majesty? So to be able to answer to these three points, where the first point of Rav Kook, that talks about Yisod Kisei Kvod Hashem, the majesty of God being revealed as a Medina, and now the transition to Yom Yerushalayim, whether it's Rav Soloveitchik, that talked about the majesty of the Am, of being able to walk proud, and now what happened to Yom Yerushalayim. And at an individual level, Moshe as a melech, why? Why not at the beginning of Shavuot? I want to parallel together with you with the understanding of a minhag. The minhag of breaking the glass at a wedding. Now the truth is, many of us know, We're at the Swirl now. If we were sitting at the restaurant, right? And then all of a sudden, what happens? Somebody broke a glass. What's another minute that happens?
Scream mazel tov.
Scream out mazel tov. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, myself, I always it was morally repugnant. Like, what are you doing? The person is so embarrassed. And what do you say? Mazel tov. You're like, oh, good. What is going on? So I'd like to try to answer that also. Okay? But before we answer that, the majestic beauty that I write here at the end and continuing on to the next page, on Yom Shini B'Shabbat, on Mondays, we have a psalm of Psalm 48, Tehillim, Perek Memchet, that talks about Yerushalayim. Gadol Hashem u'mulam ma'od b'ir Elokeinu har kasho. I talked about the beauty of Yerushalayim. The next pasuk is Yifei Nof Misos Kal Aretz. I turn the page. Har Tzion Yarkitei Tzafon. Kiryat Melech Rav. It's called Yerushalayim, is known as the city of the great king. And the question that Mefarshim ask is, who is this great king? And if you look at the next sources, the Radak talks about it could be Ir David, could be David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. It could be Melech HaMashiach. However, one could say, sometimes it's on the Aron Kodesh where it talks about the Yofi, the Melech B'Yofiot HaChazena. It could be talking about the Ir Bira, that what happened as a result of Yom Yerushalayim is, as much as Rav Kook had said that there's the Yisod Kisei Kvod Hashem as a government, as a Medina, as a country, now all of a sudden, as much as the United States doesn't recognize that the capital of Israel is in Yerushalayim, halachically what we're saying is this is an Ir Bira. This is concentrated where this is God's throne to be. This, on a certain level, there's a machloket on a halachic level. It's beautiful when you learn that halacha is not just dry halacha, but there's philosophy behind the halacha. And that was one of the chidushim that Rav Soloveitchik taught us. That the halacha that tells us there's a major machloket nowadays. You walk into Yerushalayim, do you have to tear Kriya nowadays? Right, there was going into Arei Yehuda. And then the second level was coming into Yerushalayim. Some would say, this is an Ir Bira. We now are in control of Yerushalayim. You do not need to tear Kriya. This was Rav Yehuda Kook and others. Say that you don't have to, you come into Yerushalayim, you don't have to tear Kriya anymore. To prepare for Yom Yerushalayim, I took my guys to Nachal Ot. Many people know Nachal Ot for many different things. But some of them they know for the vegetarians. There are a lot of different things that Nachal Ot are known for. But when you walk through town, and then all of a sudden you make a left. And 120 years ago, you would have walked there and there was nothing there. Empty. And I brought to the guys, some of these guys were with me last year also, and I did it this year also, and one of the first places there is called Evan Yisrael. And I'm not a Gematria guy, but Evan does stand for 53, because that was the 53 families that decided to be there and decided to build it up. And you're able to walk and feel proud that, wow, look at this. And there's the shtetl. Literally, you walk through town, Ben Yehuda, and you make a left, and there's a whole shtetl over there. There are Hasidim there, Rav Aryeh Levine, and the Tzitz Eliezer. It really impresses you of what it means that you are able to be in Yerushalayim and feel the Ir Bira to a point that some say you don't have to tear Kriya. However, as I called it, Beauty and the Beast, Rav Soloveitchik felt not that way. Rav Soloveitchik felt that Yerushalayim is an extension of Machane Yisrael, part of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore we still have to tear Kriya. The second point, and therefore, again, I didn't say it, but the classical reason of why people, when you tear the, why you, when you break the glass, is what? If you would ask anybody on the street, why do you break a glass? Because? Under the wedding, right? Zecher l'Chorban HaMikdash. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik was saying, is we still have to tear Kriya. We're still not fully there within Yerushalayim. The second introductory point I said was that Asher b'Chorban HaMikol HaAmim from Rav Soloveitchik. And I want to share with you the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, that gives us the second reason of why we break a glass. Because there's a unique Jewish concept called Gilu Bir Adah, which means that you are rejoicing with trepidation. The Gemara is astonished. What is this Gilu Bir Adah? And it brings two stories down to help us understand it. The first one has Abaye sitting in front of Rabbah. And Rabbah saw that Abaye was he was chilling out too much. He was being too jovial. Bodach tuba. And he said, Rabbi said to Abaye, V'gilu barada, what are you doing? And he said to him, don't worry about it. I'm wearing tefillin. I'm a tefillin mancha. Which in and of itself is a machloket rishonim. How to understand what does it mean he's wearing tefillin? Rabbi Yonah says that he was sick and he was now so happy that he was now able to wear tefillin. However, others, and I think it's within the ruach of the Malchut Shir, understand that there are, as Ashkenazim, we make two brachot on tefillin. We say la'aniach tefillin and then we say al mitzvah tefillin. Right after say al mitzvah tefillin, what do we say? Baruch Hashem kevod malchut olam. Why do we say Baruch Hashem kevod malchut olam? Machlokes. And therefore?
Might be a bracha
batal. Now when you hear that, you squirm a little bit. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings up. Because what do you mean? I know it's machlokes. Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, brachos and menachos. And I know, very nice. But we're machria. The halacha is we make two brachas. So why all of a sudden are we doing safek bracha? We don't usually do that. And that's the Aruch HaShulchan. What are we doing? The Aruch HaShulchan answers that when you're wearing tefillin, and this is what Abayi answered Rava, it's not just a safek bracha, it's a malchut experience. It's a Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim experience. It's just like when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what's the refrain after? We say Baruch Shem, Kibbol Malchut Olam. That's what Abayi answered Rava. That, don't worry, I'm wearing tefillin, I understand my gilu here, which normally seems to be an oxymoron. These emotions, how does rejoicing coincide with trepidation? These are not conflicting emotions. Through the tefillin, I'm able to have this beautiful fusion and synthesis. And that's the next part of the story also, where the Gemara says that Mar Barei de Ravina, Mar the son of Ravina, made a wedding for his son. Again, he saw these rabbis. I don't know about these rabbis. They were just having so much fun. And what happened? The Gemara says that he took a very, very expensive kos worth 400 zuz. And what did he do? He smashed it. And then the mood sombered. Answers here, and I turn the page. This is the second reason for breaking of the glass. Says Tosfos, Mikan Nagul Dishaber Schuchit Nisuin. From here, this is the second reason of breaking the glass. To be able to crystallize, pun intended, to crystallize the idea of where you have these two opposites. You have Gilu Bira Ada, you have to make sure that they can coincide. Now, how do I get to this? Because we know, as I said, wedding season, we know that there's Chatan is Domen to a Melech, and the Malkah to the Kalah to the Malkah. And it's a midrash that many of us have heard, that Sunday got a Shidduch with Monday, Tuesday with Wednesday, Thursday with Friday, Shabbos screamed out, hey, how about me? And what did the midrash answer? Hashem said, it's me. Now this is not just a beautiful midrash, it's a halacha. Again, I like getting philosophy within the halacha. This is the next source in front of you, the Avudraham. The Avudraham, one of the great Rishonim, Perush on the Sidur, asks a fantastic question. He says, why on Shabbat do we have three different, or four different nuschaot of tefillah? We start off with Atakidash, then we go to Yismach Moshe, and Tikanta Shabbat, then we finish off Rava the Rava of Atay Echad. Versus on Chag, we only say what? Atavichartanu Mikol Ami. He answers, V'yesh Lomar, Mimnesh Shabbat Nikret Kala, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chatan. Because this is what Shabbat is. Shabbat is this Chatan and Kala experience, and therefore each part of the Shabbat experience talks about the different stages of the marriage. And therefore we start off on Friday night with the Kiddushin, Atakidashta. In the morning we have the Simchat Nisuin. Afterwards Musaf, it's whether it's the Tosefik Ketubah or the Sudat Mitzvah. And we finalize the Shabbat with the Ata Echad, the Yichud. This concept of Shabbat, and you have the Simcha of Chatan V'Kala, which we say at Kabbalat Shabbat Friday night, Nasi Salayich Elokayach Kimsos Chatan V'Kala. It's not just a nice fluff. We see it's halacha, that the question, if you would ask a complex question, do you have an obligation of simcha on Shabbat? So some people would say, no, what's complex? It's clear. What do we have on Shabbat? Many people would tell me, oneg! Vekarata l'Shabbos oneg. There's no good English word for oneg. Some people say it's chalom. But there's no, vekarata l'Shabbos oneg. There's no simcha. So you are a Bavli Jew. So right, you learned that the Bavli, and unfortunately people that have sit during Avelut know this, because Shabbat and Avelut do not fully clash. The law lane of somebody sitting Shiva, the Avelut counts, you don't do public mourning, but you have private mourning, and therefore it doesn't come and clash. As opposed to Chag, where you have a mitzvah of Simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, that Simcha lifnei Hashem is an antithesis of Avelut. However, it's a machloket, because the Yerushalmi in the next source in front of you also says that there is a mitzvah of simcha. Or there's a pasuk in Parsha Balotcha that says, Uviyom simchatchem uvamoadichem. What is Uviyom simchatchem? Elu Shabbatot. We even say it in our tefillah. Yismechu Machutcha. Many of us, when we went to Yeshiva way back, that was one of the favorite songs that you would sing in Tefillah of Yismechu Machutcha. As a Shlomo Katz song, there's the Yeshiva Kotel dirge going down. Is Yismechu B'malchutcha. So how can you tell me that there is no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbat? I would purport to answer to you that there are two tracks. One track of the full-fledged Simcha of being with Hashem, that is the antithesis of Avelut. Okay? He's choked up what I'm saying. So one track of the Simcha is the antithesis of Avelut. However, there's another type of Simcha, which is very much what Avi was talking about before, where as opposed to the Chag, where we're in the Mikdash, and you're at that final process where you're lifnei Hashem, the Simcha, and specifically at a wedding, at the beginning of the wedding, it's a beginning Simcha. When a husband and a wife are together, there's this idea of excitement, of your but there's a certain togetherness, but there's difference. As we had said, there's a Gilu Bir Adam. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You're coming now, certain together of difference, and you're able to celebrate, and that's what the Am is. The concept of just like Simchat Shabbat, where it's not a final product, it's the beginning. We're hoping to get to Ki Mechakim Anachnu Lach, all of the Simchat Shabbat, of the celebrating the Am. This is the transition, what Rav Soloveitchik had talked about, of Asher Bacharban, what happened? Now, many of us have been at the Kotel on Friday night, and you understand this concept, just like a Chatan and Kala are different, but somehow you have to figure out how to coexist together. This is the Gilu Birada. This is the ethos of Yerushalayim. Habnuya ki ir shechubra lo yachtav. It's an ear that's mechaber Yisrael zed zeh on a Friday night when you attempt to daven, but you just look around and you have chayalim and you have chasidim and you have charedim and you have every type of Jew somehow together. This is the celebration of Yom Yerushalayim, of coming together as an Am. An Am is not someone who is just being able to, who looks like you, who thinks like you, but it's specifically understanding the difference and somehow getting along together. And that's the continuation, as Avi had said, we're not there yet. We're not fully there yet. But the strengthening of the Am from Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. My final point is the third reason of breaking the glass. And this I discovered only earlier this year. The third reason why you break a glass, says the Yamshel Shlomo of Shlomo Liria, I'm at the last page already, we're coming to the home stretch. The Yamshel Shlomo states, the reason why we break the glass is to remember Shvirat HaLuchot. It's to remember that first Kiddushin, to remember that first marriage that we had with Hashem under Matan Torah, the Chuppah that we had, and to remember the Avon HaEgel. And the question is, what is this about? If you skip to the end, if you remember, the third introductory point is that Moshe Rabbeinu only became a melech because of only by the Matan Torah, only after Shmirat HaLuchot. Rav Soloveitchik explained that this is God's will, that man shouldn't achieve what he's meant to achieve without being once defeated. Judaism taught man, let me just read it to you, how to assemble patiently the debris of the shattered tablets and restore their original integrity, or how to hew new tablets from the hard rock and climb the steep mountain. At the beginning of the marriage, we come and you break the glass. And you're able to say, you know what? I'm happy. I told my wife right before getting married, I said the language of Nisuim means to be raised up. We're going to be elevated together. But it also means the forgiveness. You have to know how to be able to deal with defeat. And this is unbelievable. Many of us know Rav Shlomo Gorin, Chief Rabbi of Tzahal, and know about that he was holding a Sefer Torah. And also, what was he holding? A shofar, right? He blew the shofar. But many of us don't know that, unless you read the book or you have some sort of other information, that wasn't his shofar. It wasn't his shofar. At the time of Yom Ha'atzmaut, of Tashach, he was in Australia. And then he found out that there was a war happening. He tried to get back as quickly as he could. He didn't have the direct El Al or United flight. So what did he do? He spent Shabbos in the White Shul. He was in the White Shul darshaning that about we're going to go and free the Kotel. He didn't. It's unbelievable. At that point, it wasn't public knowledge, and he didn't know. I don't think that the Jordanians teamed up with the Russians that they were going to attack us.
Egyptians.
What is it?
You said Russians.
Okay, the Egyptians. It was the Russian.
Russian arms.
Exactly. Russian arms. The and he comes back And he goes down. He was a chief rabbi that wasn't just saying Tehillim. I like saying Tehillim, but he was there together with the army, and he got hit. He had a shofar, and he got hit. And his shofar was actually burnt. And at the time, when at the point of Shechru Yerushalayim and Har HaBayit, he didn't have a shofar. So what did he do? He ran to his father-in-law, the Nazir of David Cohen, to go get that shofar. Rav Shlomo Goren taught us at that point, but he himself said, before I celebrate this, I need to go to the Chorva. I need to go to the Chorva. He remembered 1948, the Jordanians, when they smashed the shul, and he said, I need to understand what Chorva is, to be able to understand what Binyan is. And this is something that we had towards around 8 years ago in Yeshiva. Natan Sharansky was the current head of the Jewish agency. So at that point, he was the Minister of Infrastructure of the government, and he was coming to speak in Yeshiva. And he looked at the Chorva, which at that point was still Charev, and he said to them, like, what's going on here? Why is this not rebuilt? And they said, no, it's a symbol. It's a symbol. It's a symbol. It's not a symbol. You have to be able to understand how to build from that defeat. This is what happens at a wedding. When the Gemara says that we are misameach chatan v'kala, the Gemara says in the second to last source in front of you, that Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak Amar, it's ki'ilu bana achat mechorvot Yerushalayim. You're able, when you're misameach chatan v'kala, to rebuild those ruins. Shenamar, he quotes a pasuk that we know, ki ashiv et shvut ha'aretz kevarishona amar Hashem. That we say, Odi Shama, this charev place, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. The beauty of Yerushalayim that we have now is that we're able to know there were tremendous defeats that we've had in Yerushalayim. Givala Tachmoshet, unbelievable, the Mesir Nefesh. At the same time, we continue believing and building, becoming majestic as individuals also, to learn from those defeats, to have the determination that we're going to continue building Yerushalayim Lanetzach. And I'll conclude just with a very fun fact that says, as much as I had talked about that it's the manifestation of Yisod Kisei Kvod Hashem, even more so the Ir Bira, as much as now it's Asher Bachar Banu Bikolam, that they have the inner strength to be able to be proud of Am Yisrael, there, and this last point of the individual learning how to overcome defeat and motivate yourself from defeat, Yerushalayim in Tanakh is stated 656 times. Rav Shachter brought this down in a sefer from a tshuva called Heichal Yitzchak, and I looked at it, and he said that 653 of them are written without a yud. I looked at my Bar Ilan, it didn't happen that way, but okay. The message was that as much as we have to continue and celebrate this unbelievable day of Yom Yerushalayim and all the hashkacha that we have to be able to continue building Yerushalayim, we still have to understand how to continue yearn to hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, to have the kisei and shalem with the yud, with the full shleimut together, and one should have the chag sameach.
Well, Rabbi Cutler, it's true, this is the third time I heard it, but I don't know, maybe it's because today's Yom Yerushalayim, and you picked up a little extra energy, a little bit of a different